Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
What a week.
What a week. Exhausting.
What a week in the world of Rugby League. From the last podcast to this one. Wow.
Well, I mean, it's been 2 weeks since our last episode, hasn't it? But the whole world's turned upside down.
Rugby League is just, oh man, it keeps talking all the time, doesn't it? We've had the fallout from Lee.
Yeah. Quite a lot of players leaving, six in total.
Exactly, yeah.
Lee not making the
fours in the qualifiers, hence the fallout.
You know what I've got to do? Because you'll just pick me up on it anyway. I've got to say a big congratulations to Halifax, who I didn't actually tip would actually make
what
the four.
What a job Richard Marshall's doing there.
Oh, he confounds the critics year after year and makes me eat my words every single season.
London making the fours, no one saw that one.
Not just making the fours.
Featherstone missing out.
Well, I thought Featherstone may just miss out, but they actually won at Toronto.
And what a turnaround in fortunes for like the Catalans and Huddersfield.
Oh, well, 8 weeks ago we were thinking that they were both shoo-ins for the middle eights, didn't we?
We did, but somehow Steve McManara and the new guy, who no one remembers his name.
Mr. Wolford.
Still new. Yes, at least you remembered. They've come up with a good run of victories to get themselves out the mess in.
Can you get coach of the year after just a couple of months in charge somewhere?
Or would you give it to McManara or Woodford?
No, Simon Woolford.
Oh, Woolford, not Woodford. I thought you said Woodford.
No. There's an Urshaw there, isn't there? The Woodford Urshaw.
I don't know, is there?
Yeah, and I don't think Simon's got anything to do with it, though. Simon says, and what he says goes at Huddersfield. That's the way that it's gone the last few weeks.
Toronto have claimed the wheel trim for the championship.
They have, in emphatic style as well, it must be said.
Yeah, even had the cheek to rest a few players and lose the final home game.
You say this as if it was a big fix.
But well done to Featherstone.
Exactly. Featherstone only
travelled. Historic win.
Featherstone only travelled with 16 players and yet were able to beat Toronto in the backyard.
See, how's this going to pan out, right? We've heard plenty of stories within the championship of clubs not being able to take the full squad because players were refused visas. How's this going to work in the eights where it comes to like Super League clubs going over there?
I reckon that they've sorted something out.
Because I don't think Hokiar, Salford, Leeds and Widnes will be happy if the star player has done something wrong in the past and he gets refused a visa.
But that's country rules, isn't it? Nobody's got any jurisdiction on that. And I think they've managed to sort something out.
Shouldn't this have been in place when he came into the British game?
Well, there's another argument in itself. But they've got it sorted. It's better late than never. Like everything regarding Rugby League, it's better late than never.
In Super League, Leeds never got out the mess, despite Sir Kev coming back.
No. If anything, they look even worse now, more bedraggled.
Awful against Salford, apparently.
Yeah, there was one player making his debut, Jordan Thompson, missed 10 tackles in the game. I've never seen somebody miss 10 tackles in a game.
Even when Salford were 12 men down, Salford still outscored Leeds Rhinos.
And they've got a new star, haven't they? Jackson Hastings.
Yes, he looked quite handy for 20 minutes.
Did. Only 25 minutes he played and made a break, set two tries up. Oh, looks the class, there's a lad.
So Salford looked pretty strong. Hull Kingston Rovers are looking pretty strong, witness.
Tell you what, there's a couple of players for Hull Kingston Rovers that I'd really fancy taking. If I was a squad and I was looking to build for Super League, Craig Hall, Ben Crooks and Danny Tickle.
Yes, Danny Tickle finally got 100th try.
You said he's been waiting for that forever.
He's been waiting for ages. He was on 96 when he was at Widnes.
It's took him a good while to get there, hasn't it?
He got there. Well done, Danny.
Tell you what, he's really good as well. He's back on the goal kicking as well.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Speaking of goal kickers, right. Danny Richardson, what a finish.
Oh.
The boy did good.
The boy did good, yeah. 50-odd metres, kicked it. Never looked like he was going to miss, did he? A real sharp shooting eye as that kid.
I was at that game and once we sent someone said, why is he kicking it? Give it Makinson. Makinson's the man for the kick. But Danny Richardson thought, no, I'm the man for the job.
Makinson's got a big boot, hasn't he? To be
if
fair.
You say so.
Yeah. Well, I've seen him really loft him from distance before. Okay. So I can understand some St. Helens fans maybe giving a bit of stick, but I bet they were dead quiet or dancing around the stadium, maybe.
They were.
After that kick from Richardson.
And the young lad made them eat their words.
He's a good player, that Richardson, isn't he? Very, very level-headed. I like that.
Very good player, as is Jake Truman.
Oh, Jake Truman's another one. So really, we've been saying this, or I've been saying it for months, about all these Australians coming
don't
in.
Don't need them.
Taking our halfback spots. We've actually got a couple of halfbacks that are really coming through the systems now, haven't we? So yeah, that's very encouraging from a game-wide point of view.
It is. Hopefully some more will come through as well. Speaking of players, loads coming out of retirement. Why is that? Have we got a shortage of players or something?
I think we may have.
No, Paul Wood's coming back again.
Can't believe he's coming back.
Stephen Wild,
he's not played for 2 years.
Exactly, making a comeback for the Crusaders. Craig Calvert.
He retired last year.
He's back for Workington.
Whitehaven,
sorry, I do apologise.
Don't get them too muddled up. We'll have World War II on our hands, or even World War III.
Carl Seiss.
He's been retired even longer.
Another man coming back into the action.
And then that was to add to Mickey Higham stepping back from retirement earlier this year.
Who else is going to come back? Gary Schofield, maybe?
Gary Connolly. I'd love to see Gary Connolly back.
Gary Labatt, he used to be called in his days at St. Helens.
Martin Afire, but he could still twinkle toes past a few players, you know. Ellery Hanley. Let's get Ellery back.
Martin Afire's 52 years of age.
Doesn't matter. Once you've got it, you've never lost it. He'd still finish top try scorer in Super League if he were playing on the outside at Castleford.
Speaking about Martin O'Fire, it's just been announced by Widnes that him and Kurt Sorensen are going to be inducted into the Widnes Hall of Fame.
Are they positive choices, do you reckon?
Yes. Great players.
Because, I mean, there was quite a bit of animosity towards Martin O'Fire when he decided to take the lucre and go out to Wigan, wasn't
it? Maybe so, but during his spell at Widnes, for me anyway, he was the better player.
He was an excitement machine, to be fair. Because every time he touched it, you thought something might happen. And there's very few players that you get that buzz about. Sorensen was just a hard nut.
I'd like to see them two come out of retirement, like you said. Desi Drummond, I'd like to see him come out of retirement.
Desi, yeah. I'll tell you what, he'd be diving in off the wing. Wingers these days wouldn't know what had hit him.
And Warrington used to have a halfback as well. Kevin Bishop, remember him?
Oh, he was hard as nails as well.
Yeah.
He's got a record for dropping so many goals in a game. Was it 5 goals?
Funny you should just mention drop kicks. What is it, rugby league players can't drop a goal?
Well, it's Warrington rugby league players can't drop a goal, can they? They've had a few occasions over recent weeks.
They've embarrassed themselves with their attempts at drop goals. Not just Warrington players, but Saints had a couple of efforts. We had the drop goal competition the week before as well.
We did, very close game.
Hmm.
Nobody could hit any.
Don't they practice anymore?
I think it's with Australian coaches. Australian coach, you look at the NRL, there's very rarely a drop goal that's added, isn't there?
If you think about it, we've had great drop kicks takers. We mentioned Bishop for Warrington, Lee Breeze.
Yeah. Then going a bit further back, Norman Turley,
Keith Elwell at Widnes.
Andy Ruane.
Who?
Andy Ruane used to play at Widnes and Oldham and Lee. Oh, he was a drop goal king. He kicked 17 drop goals one season.
Wow. That's something else.
There you go, see. Follow this show, folks, and you learn a lot. I'm sure there's a few Oldham fans somewhere going, oh, Andy Ruane, I remember him.
Got me on that one.
Voice from the past, or names from the past.
Yeah, loads of it. Alex Murphy was the master at it.
Well, the rumour was that they dropped the rate of the drop goal from 2 points to 1 point because of Alex Murphy.
Yeah, that's right.
And because of the way that he encouraged his side. Because I don't remember because I wasn't old enough, but Lee got through to the final of the Challenge Cup in 1971. And all the way through, they were like drop goal kings. They just kept going for drop goals, and that's what won them the games.
Joe Lydon. He was a great drop goal kicker.
That one he did at Main Road.
Yeah, halfway line.
Blimey. That was a sweet strike if ever there was one.
That's me. You see today's players trying to have a pop. It's embarrassing.
You know, maybe we should ask these older lads to come back and start coaching drop goals. Do you reckon?
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Welcome to the Final Hooter podcast on loverugbyleague.com. Agent Jackson and Dave Parkinson talking. Why do I always slip up on that word?
I don't know. It's your name as well.
I know. Should we do that link again?
Let's do that link again.
Hold on a minute. It's live radio, but it'll be edited out for the Final Hooter podcast on loverugbyleague.com.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Anyway, enough about bringing players out of retirement and old-fashioned drop goal specialists. Welcome to the Final Hooter podcast. My name's Adrian Jackson, joined by David Parkinson. As we talk rugby league on loverugbyleague.com, And a big special thanks to Radio General for letting us use the studio.
Yes, very thank you very much indeed.
We mentioned some of the stuff that's gone on this week, but any surprises with the results and who's missed out in the fours and the eights and God knows what?
I have to admit, looking at it, there was only the Lee one, but is that much of a surprise because of the way that they started the season?
That's hasn't it?
They've done fantastically well to get themselves in with a shot, and
yes.
had they got a freak run of results in this final weekend, then they could have been in, but it wasn't to be, and as a result, there's... shall we say, seas of change sweeping their way through at Lee Centurions.
Featherstone surprised me, actually. I thought they would have been in the fours.
You see, I thought that they might slip up. I didn't tip them to beat Toronto on the final game of the season, I have to admit there. So
no,
they did really well to get that result. I'm sure they'll be a bit disappointed as well, to be honest, because I know they've pushed the boat out a little bit in getting lads like Martin Ridyard, Gareth Hawk and the like. They're still a fine team, North Featherstone, though, and they'll be back next year.
I suppose the talking point of the week has got to be the fallout from Lee not making the qualifiers.
Yes, very much so. And I mean, a lot of people have said, well, you shouldn't spend money that you haven't got. Let's be honest, they've had this money, they just won't have it next season, so they're cutting the cloth accordingly at this moment in time.
For a play to Derek Beaumont, at least he's been honest and upfront about it. I mean, he could have done a Marvin Kukash, said nothing, just walked away.
And he's also allowed the players to go out and seek their own deals elsewhere. I mean, at one point, if all the rumours were to be believed, there was less than seven players that could have took the field on Sunday. But, you know, Kieran Pirtle got them all together. In the end, it only ended up being six players that left. You know, there's some real good beneficiaries there. Hull Kingston Rovers signing a couple. Warrington signing Bodine Thompson and the other Thompson heading his way to Leeds. And it's a real shame. I mean, maybe I'm speaking with a more biased head on this, obviously being a Lee fan and from the town. But, you know, Lee has tried so hard to get themselves in that top division. They got themselves there. They found themselves on the wrong end of the £1 million game. And then, you know, as you mentioned at the top of the show, the start of the season has really done them and they've been chasing ever since. But I think now comes a time where they're going to have to cut the cloth accordingly. I don't know what that's going to look like. I can see a lot of these players that are still at Lee possibly moving on at the end of the year. But we'll wait and see what happens, because stranger things are happening in rugby league, as we always say.
Let's hear from Kieran Pirtle as he reflects on what has been a challenging week and also the game against Sheffield.
Well, Kieran, what a week.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a traumatic week. Probably pretty much like the weather today. It was stormy and cloudy this morning and then, you know, a bit of sunshine in the afternoon, and that's what our week's been. You know, not very good beginning of the week, and towards the end, the sun came through a little bit. We managed to get a squad and a team together. And I think today, once we'd settled down after that first half and a bit of nerves went away, you know, we're sure what this group's still capable of, and we have a lot of rugby left in us, and I'm really proud of that performance today. So it's been a tough week. Personally, it's been a tough week, and, you know, we've worked hard as a group, you know, for a number of weeks now, and then to see that group just taking apart towards the end, you know, it's very sad for me. And I've got some good friends who have left and some good players who've given a lot for this club. But, you know, as a club, we're a strong club. We've got a fantastic fan base, which was shown out there today. They were absolutely outstanding today. And, you know, the reception at the end was first class, and it was almost bringing a tear to my eye. You know, it's this club's got strong foundations, great fan base. You know, it's been to bad places before, and it's come back, you know, better and stronger, and I'm sure we will again.
Who picks a coach up?
Well, I don't know. Mike's been doing that job for me, outside of me. He's been my ear, but, you know, it's been a tough week. Individually, it's, you know, you've got all the players' problems to deal with and all your staff, and you're at the top of the tree, and I imagine that's, you know, that's what you get paid to do, and that's why you become the leader or head of this group. And hopefully I've done the right thing by everyone this week and steered everyone in the right direction. And, you know, we've got a performance out there today, and, you know, that's just fitting for the fans who've stuck by us.
And how do you approach the next part of the season, Kieran? Obviously not where you expected to be or want to be.
5 days off, start off with, and get our heads back together. Just relax a little bit. You know, we've talked about a group there. It's a new group for us. And we had an opportunity today to put a stamp down how this group's going to be going forward. And I thought the second half we did that. At the end of the day, we're in a competition to win a trophy, and that's what we want to do. It doesn't matter what trophy or competition you're in, you've still got to win it, and that's what we're going to focus on. Obviously, we're disappointed, you know, where we've finished, but hopefully we'll get some wins together. We've got some tough games coming up, we understand that, But at the end of the year, we want to lift a trophy for those fans who've been outstanding again today.
He's done an outstanding job as Kieran Pearsall.
He has, yeah. I mean, he came in when the ship was rocking, really rocking. Mm. And to be honest, the club never looked back from after they were trailing 28-0 at Halifax. I was looking at his record. He's only lost 5 games over the course of the season. 3 of those have been against Toronto. He lost one against Halifax, and the other one was against Featherstone. So, you know, the guy's got really good credentials. He's so honest. I love speaking to him because he just tells you how it is, and I like guys that do that. So he doesn't hide behind anything. He's worked so hard this season and deserves all the plaudits that will surely head his way.
He's obviously being asked about where his future lie. He's just saying basically get to the end of the season and he'll look at it. But I'm sure there'll be a few Super League clubs that are coachless at the minute. So he'll be looking at what he's done and think, you know what, could do a job for us.
He's been one of these guys that surprisingly has often been looked over for top jobs.
Exactly.
Really,
is this his time?
Maybe it is his time. You know, I mean, he coached the England Knights squad for a couple of seasons. He's coached internationally at Canada. You know, as I say, he's a really highly qualified coach. Learned all his trade coming through at St Helens, went over to Huddersfield, worked with some great coaches over at Huddersfield as well. So maybe it is his time. From a purely selfish point of view, I think he's the man also to steady the ship at Lee and to take it forward in whatever format that involves. So I would hate to see him actually leave Lee, but obviously the final word goes with Kieran, doesn't it? And he's another one of these guys that I don't begrudge him if he decides that he wants to move on.
Now, Lee, we're playing Sheffield, so you took the opportunity to talk rugby league with the one and only Mark Aston.
Full circle, they've come full circle. We're back to the tough days. Hey, and sometimes you need that reality, and then it grows you and makes you a little bit stronger. We'll come back out a bit stronger. We'll change a lot of the personnel around the club again and strive to do what we did all them years ago, to get a consistent bunch team together that we can get to the place where we're probably changing one or two a year. And when we get that, we'll have that bit of continuity, which hopefully will bring consistency back to the club. We went full-time, and there was nothing wrong with that decision. Because if you're going to go full-time, you've got to do it sometime. We had a person who was going to support that. We wasn't going crazy money because we were only spending the money that we got coming in from Super League, or the middle eights. We're only going to spend $450,000 on contracts. Boom. We're going to fetch people in like Matty Fozard, people like that, that we could get for 20s grand, 30 grand, whatever it was, Scott Wildens, that we got at our price, and we're time building. The problem is the stadium didn't get done. The investor who were going to build the stand and build the hotel got messed about by the people that messed them about. And he walks away and then you're back to his building again and you go, wow, you know. So, yeah, it's frustrating. But actually, you know, end of daily, they'll come through it. I hope they'll come through it because they've worked hard to get where they needed to get. And, you know, we need to come through it. We will. You know, as long as you've got good people in and around the place that want it, the fans deserve it, particularly Sheffield, and particularly here. They deserve to have a top team playing this beautiful facility.
Reading also as well about the situation regarding the ground and all that rent business, you know, it just seems like one thing after another, though, doesn't it? That sort of almost gets in your way.
I tell you what, if I were a boxer, I think I'd be punch drunk now, wouldn't I? You know, and you know, of course it's tough. But what do you want to do? Do you want to pack in? Do you want to just turn your back on them and walk away? Look, there's a group of fans that have stuck with us for the last 4 years outside the city since they knocked Don Valley down. It breaks your heart, you know, but they've stuck out with us. You know, we come back into this city, we get false promises, we get lied to, if you like, and people say things that they're now saying they didn't say, but hey, you know what archives are about, don't you? And what when it's been said, it's usually in one of them archives, isn't it? So we'll pull that out and pull a few more shots at them because if it's worth saying, it's worth doing. And, you know, we're still having that battle. We shouldn't be. It's put a bit of added strain on us this year. You know, have we gone out and recruited one player from the deadline the other day? No, we are where we are. And we will get through this and we'll get through the situation with the council and people that's made false promises. And, you know, we will get the stadium, you know, and we will start building from the bottom again and we will start doing the thing that made us successful. And then I'll tell the people what I think of them.
you've always had this uncanny ability, I hope you don't mind me saying, yeah, of just building something from nothing.
I've had lots of practice. I've had lots of practice, haven't I? It's about good people, and we've got a good people. You know, we've lost a number of board of directors over the last so many years because, hey, time moves on. Ian Swire was a chairman for, since we set it back up, has left. He's retired. He likes to go in France and he likes to go live the high life. Hey, can't knock him. Chris Noble's coming, champion of a blow. He's been with us all that. So we just, you know, we just get on with it. No point mourning and causing a stress about it. We'll just get on with it. We'll fight. We'll get to where we want to get to. We will build it again. There might be some new faces coming in next year that have been here before. The fans will love them. I like good people. And you put good people around, you can get good things.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Don't mourn about it, just get on with it. That's what Mark Aston said. That's what Lee needs to be doing.
That's a mantra that you could print and put on every dressing room door,
stop
isn't it?
Stop moaning about it and just get on with it.
From St Helens to West Wales, that could go on
everybody,
every door.
Everybody, yes. Well said, Mark Aston. Hear, hear.
He's
should,
a great bloke.
Should they give him the chief executive job at the RFL?
He's a great bloke, he's Mark Aston.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, I tell you what, we get things done.
I'm not having a go at Ralph Rimmer. I think he could be a good RFL.
Hang on, you've not even had your interview executive with him that you hinted that you was going to get last time.
That's coming up in the semis.
Oh, right, okay.
At Bolton.
Don't go upsetting him straight away.
I won't, I promise.
You're not going up to him. You know, Mark Aston would have done a better job than you, pal.
Mark Aston for Murder Rugby League, with that comment.
I just thought that interview was just so insightful as well, wasn't it, from Mark Aston?
Have they not given the keys to Sheffield yet?
They should do.
Should do.
They'd probably change the locks on
him. Should have a statue of him.
They should.
Statue outside Sheffield Station, Mark Aston.
Yeah, they should. I agree. He's been a magnificent ambassador for Rugby League there in the Steel City.
Keeping the flag flying for Rugby League.
And we were just saying off air, weren't we, that if that had been anybody else and anybody else had took that job on, they wouldn't still be there. They would have retired. It would have sent him into retirement, wouldn't it? But he just laps it up and he just keeps coming back for more. Like he said, he's like a punch drunk boxer. It's easy for me to say.
Because one thing I do like about Mark Aston, he doesn't give up the fight, does he?
And he tells it straight.
And he tells it as it is.
He tells it as it is. Yeah. And that is a very rare quality in rugby league these days, isn't it? Because that's why I like the likes of Mark and Kieran Pirtle, because you'll ask a straight question, you'll get a straightforward answer.
Away from the Championship and League One, I thought West Wales were going to win, by the way.
They got close, didn't they?
Oh, so close. Well, that close, that's almost as good as a win for them.
I suppose it is. You can almost say it's a moral victory.
Yeah.
I mean, Widnes were claiming one the other week at Hull, was it, where they went down by 7 points. So to lose to Hemel by just 8 points, then...
No, bear in mind, they lost 6-4 to Coventry a couple of days earlier as well. So to back it up and go to Hemel and come close to a victory.
Maybe this is the start of the turnaround.
Could be.
Maybe it is. I hope so. I hope so for rugby league's sake, because I don't like to see teams really, really struggling at the bottom end of the division.
I wonder what was going through the thoughts of the Hemel fans and players. They're thinking, oh no, we can't be us getting beat by these, surely not.
I think they just pulled it back with a tri-cluster. Yeah. Steve Manuel liked that saying, a tri-cluster between 50 and 60 minutes. They scored 3 tries in that period.
Dipping our toes into Super League, it was all about the kick, wasn't it? That kick, would he get it? Wouldn't he not get it?
It was an amazing kick, wasn't it? Danny Richardson we're talking about, of course.
We are, yes. I'm going to hear from him right now.
Knew what was at stake, you know, the Hooter had gone, and obviously I knew we were drawing, and if I kicked there I won, but I just sort of got to take myself out of that situation as best I can, and you know, remember at the end of the day it's just a goal kick, no matter how far it is, and it's what I practice for, so yeah, I just sort of took myself out of it and got it in the end. Luckily enough, I believe in myself in every aspect of life, and obviously that showed in that goal kick then. Warrington come with a game plan, and you know, they executed it very well, and we were behind for the whole game. We struggled a lot, I thought, through the game, and we sort of just couldn't get in front. But we've got obviously a culture here now where, you know, every single person in that dressing room is a winner, and we had that never die attitude, and obviously we dug into the end, and that's the sort of result that you can get from that. I think it says a lot about the team, you know, all year, obviously. At the minute, we've only lost 2 games, and we've shown we can win in different fashions. You know, not any game has been the same, and obviously, I think the more that we can win in different ways, and like the Leeds game a couple of months ago was pretty much the same as that. And you know, we've showed that we've got the character to do these, win these games, and obviously that's going to put you in good stead, because where we want to be is semi-finals, grand finals, Challenge Cup finals, and they're all close games right up until the end. So I think if we can come out winning these sort of games, that puts us in good stead.
Well, the one game away from Wembley, they're going to have a home semi-final for the chance to get to Old Trafford. Will they get the job done? Is it going to be a Challenge Cup Super League title double, or with the league lead this year that they've already won, a hat trick?
It's a treble, isn't it? Potentially on the line there, yes, at St Helens.
Are they going to get the job done?
You know what? I think they will do this season, which usually means exactly the opposite will happen, yeah, with my tipping and, yeah, the way that it's gone. Mm. But I've just got a feeling about St Helens, because what they've proven over the course of the season is A, they can blow teams away, B, they can grind wins out, and C, they can defend like demons. I mean, I'm just looking at the league table.
They did that against Warrington.
They've only conceded 298 points in 23 games. They were brilliant in defence against Warrington.
I mean, they could have rocked up against Warrington and think, you know, with 10 points ahead, season's done. But they never. They hit Warrington head on and dealt with what was thrown at them.
Yeah, Challenge Cup semi-final on the horizon. Let's rest a few players. But no, they don't.
None of
that's not Justin Holbrook's way. He just gets on with it.
Players are only missing from the squad that they're injured.
Which is a real good thing, isn't it? There's none of this squad rotation that you see quite a lot of these days. It's just, if you're good enough at St Helens, you get the shirt.
My word, and Danny Richardson is good enough, isn't he?
Oh, well, I mean, you look at who he's keeping out the team.
He's keeping Matty Smith on, kicking his heels on the touchline.
Exactly, you know, and he's probably learned a lot through watching Matty Smith in training over the course of the season. He's picking stuff up. He was always tipped to go places, wasn't he, as he was coming through the academy ranks. And it's nice to see a youngster doing well. And he's from Widnes as well, isn't he?
He is, yeah. So one that Widnes missed out on as well, I'm afraid.
Sorry, I didn't mean to rub that in.
No, it's okay.
I'm just saying that Widnes is still producing great rugby league talents.
Not many, but there's still some there.
Percival,
yeah.
Exactly.
Richie Myler.
Exactly, yeah.
Leeds fans might disagree with that one, but Richie's okay.
Well, to be fair, I mean, he is leading all the try creations at Headingley this season. Mm. So I think individually he's having a good season. It's just Leeds on the whole have kind of fallen off the wagon a bit, haven't they?
Like I said, all the talk in Super League was all about that kit from Richardson that won the game for Saints. Keeps them well ahead of everybody else at the top of the table. But there was some interesting games of rugby league, wasn't there?
There certainly was, yeah. Wins over the course of the weekend for Huddersfield against Wakefield, for Hull Kingston Rovers in the big Hull derby, for Salford against Leeds, which was an absolute outstanding result. Notice Niall Evald's back scoring and the tries as well. We've already hinted there at St Helens and Warrington. Wigan just held off a spirited comeback from Catalans, who got reduced to 12 men at one stage. And sadly, as far as Widnes were concerned, a 16th straight defeat, but a great result for Castleford Tigers.
Good result for Cass. Widnes need to forget the league form and hopefully come back all guns blazing in the qualifying eight.
They certainly do. While for Castleford, few people have been really talking about them in great measure, and yet they've suddenly ended that season in third spot, haven't they?
Yeah, they just slipped under the radar because everyone's talking about the demise of Leeds. They're talking about Wigan not being in the four potentially. They're talking about St Helens and Benny Barber and his gang, and Castleford have just slipped in unnoticed.
They have. They've done a tremendous job. Daryl Powell again showing that you can get victories with maybe not the same personnel as he had last year. And there's been injuries there. There's been, you know, changes that have been enforced on him, and, you know, suspensions coming in. I think they've done a tremendous job again of Cass Tigers.
I know the eights are just about to start. Like we said, the fixtures are out Wednesday afternoon after this podcast has been recorded on loverbilly.com. And thanks very much to Radio General for letting us use the studio. But Hull, definitely not going to make the four of them, because I can't see that four changing, other than position and wise between second and fourth.
Yeah, there's
where does Lee Radford go from here?
Well, hopefully he's still got a job at Hull next season, because I like the fella. Again, he's another one of those straight-talking coaches that I like that sort of style. And, you know, overall, if you look, he's done a good job. But he only ever seems to be about three or four defeats from the Boo Boys coming back, doesn't he?
See, the thing is with Hull, they've got that much fan base and the funds that they can get in place. They should be top four. Year in, year out.
I do agree with you, but sometimes things conspire against you, don't they? You know, signings don't work out, or the signings that worked last year don't work as hard.
I know they've had a lot of injuries as well, but so has everybody else.
They have, but, you know, I suppose some of them have been really, really crucial injuries, haven't they? But yeah, I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot of people on Humberside at the moment listening to this thinking, you know what, I'm really, really disappointed with how Hull have gone this season, and maybe rightfully so. But for me, I think that they'll be back next year.
Do you think Sir Kev would be thinking, you know what, this coaching malarkey, not for me?
You know, he's never been a quitter, has he?
No.
I think that he'll turn it round at Leeds, you know, but he's just got to navigate their way through this qualifying campaign, hasn't he? Because none of those games are going to be easy for the Rhinos.
Not at all. I do think they'll survive, to be honest, just because it's Leeds. You know that the guys will come good, but I'm sure there's regular Leeds Rhinos fans that probably think, you know what, could be a bit tough this eight.
Oh, I think it's between them and Hull Kingston Rovers for who'll finish top of the middle eights and the qualifiers, in all honesty. So yeah, we'll wait and see what happens and see what the fixture gods come up with.
And we mentioned Castleford defeating Widnes to secure third spot in Super League before 12 become eight. Let's hear from the head man himself, Daryl Powell.
Daryl Powell, given everything that's happened to the guys with injuries, to finish inside the top three after 23 rounds, you must be happy with that.
Oh yeah, it's a big effort from us. I think we've had 10, 11 frontline players missing at times, and there's been a couple of other teams that's happened to. But I don't think any of the top four have had that happen to them too much, you know. And for us, we've done great. Some of our younger players have been awesome, and our senior players, obviously, with a lot of young men around them, have to step up as well. So I think so far we'd have to be exceptionally pleased with where we are. And I don't, you know, there were some patches today where I thought we were outstanding. But I think overall, we haven't played our best rugby league yet. And today were some examples of that hopefully we can carry with us.
Can you say you ended the 23 round game series with a big win against Widnes, but what was your thoughts at 12-4?
Oh yeah, there's a big turning point there where Greg Eden intercepts the ball down the short side where it looked like they might score, and he ends up bringing us back to 12-10. And I just thought we weren't playing that well. I think we Widnes's ruck speed was really quick, and ours we had a real slow start to our fighting energy at the play of the ball. And Widnes came after us and disrupted us a little bit. So fair play to them. Once we got our game together, we were really sharp, I thought. And it had been very difficult for Widnes to contain us, and we got some pretty quick tries, which got us out to a pretty big lead.
Mentioned some of the exceptional play that you came up with, but some exceptional tries as well.
Yeah, well, that's the culmination of all of that ends up being the points that you score. And just some of the offloading and movement of the ball into space, I thought was top quality today.
Who was a standout performer for you guys?
Oh, I thought we had numerous, to be honest. I thought Peter Matauti had a really strong debut. QLT I thought was great at the back. He did a lot of good things. Jake Truman of the halves did an awesome job, you know, carrying the ball, and defensively was really sound as well for a 19-year-old kid. That's exceptional. Our bench were very strong, I thought. Give us some real punch after the starting boys had got us going. So there's lots of really good performers. Ollie Holmes did some smart things and scored a try as well. Just a good all-round solid team performance with some real outstanding playing there.
Have you got any injuries to worry about from that game?
No, I think that's probably the biggest positive is we haven't got anything out of that, which we haven't been able to say too much as we've got through the season. We've generally picked one or two, and sometimes a few more up. So, fingers crossed, boys will be all right. We've got a bit of a break next week, and then we come back in for the Super 8.
They will come back in, and they'll be hoping to have Luke Gale, won't they?
Wow, what a comeback, what a comeback.
Mm. So well done to Cass, well done to Warrington, well done to Saints.
And all the winners.
All the ones who've made the fours. Well done. Or the eights.
And eights.
Yeah. Well done to everyone. It's going to be tasty when we all come back. But before that, it's all about the road to Wembley. Who's going to make the final? I'm going to go with the favourite, Saints and Warrington. Should we have a pint on it?
We will.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.